What's up, everyone? This is Press X to Start Podcast, Season 3, Episode 23.
Hello.
Hello.
We are here today to bring you the latest in gaming news, impressions, and all things surrounding video games, but from a minority perspective.
Aww.
Your host today is myself, DJ, a.k.a. Sexy Bad Choice, a.k.a. Did you know Dark Matter, guys?
What about it?
Dark Matter. The reason why it's called dark matter is because
it's racist.
Almost. But photons do not interact with dark matter. That's why it's dark.
So they're segregated, right?
I mean, it is what you want to call
Brown
it.
Brown hasn't come to them either. No.
Can we bust them in?
I mean, we can, but it's going to be really hard to see
dark
them.
Dark matter only fountains.
We can't. We just can't see. What? Dark only
fountains? What the fuck ever? Yo, I'm Sean MF Ross.
What do MF stand for?
Monkey feces.
Oh, shit.
My goodness.
Exactly.
Literally. Yeah, right. That is dirty.
What's up, everyone? This is Cameron.
Who?
Who the fuck are you? Like,
basically. Our special guest.
Right. Special guest. I have words from modern day philosopher.
Okay.
Cardi B. Whatever you do, sis, keep it cute, sis. Don't let that beef and ish get you. I forgot the word. Next, Doug.
Whatever you do, sis, keep it cute, sis.
Yes.
There we go. And
we missed you. And I'm Douglas. I'm your barrister from Baltimore.
Hey.
How many people did you have to shoot to get down here?
How many people had to shoot you down here?
How many dead bodies did you step over?
How many drive-bys did you commit before you got down here?
You know, that's why I ride my motorcycle, so I can get in and get out.
How much heroin did you have to turn down?
Did the Orioles win?
You know what? We don't need to talk about that.
Yo, I feel like all the DMV teams are fucking trash.
That's unfortunate.
Except for the Nationals.
Check out our thoughts on DMV teams in our Press X is Sport podcast. Coming... Not soon. No, it's not. But what is coming right now is
Press
what we've been playing.
Bat, nigga.
Oh, shit.
See, I'm good with
this. We should have talked about this before this. I recorded this. That would have been a lot. Anyways, this is what we've been playing. We'll start with...
The Basta. All right. So, I know I always talk about how I always play Overwatch and Dead by Daylight, but this time, somewhat different. Last time, last check, I know we were talking about how I was playing Overwatch with Marcus and some of his folks. That happened again even last night up until close to midnight. We were playing Overwatch.
I might re-download Overwatch so I can get in.
Yeah, at one point, you had like a 5-stack, 6-stack one all around.
Hey, guess what?
What's that?
I downloaded Overwatch.
You did?
I did.
I'm about to re-download.
Completely forgot to tell you guys that I downloaded it. Definitely jumped on the Dragon's Dogma.
That's your crack?
Yes, it is.
That game is fire.
For the first time, even though we've been talking about how much we've been playing this game off and on, but we never played it together. I had a great opportunity to play with Sean Dead by Daylight. We survived together somewhat.
Yeah, I'm not good at being a survivor, bro.
You just want to hack and slash people.
You look like a victim.
Nah, man. I just kept on wanting to run. Like, every time I heard a noise, I was like, fucking break.
I'm out.
Doug was like, no, come back. Help me fix the generator. Nah, fuck that, man. I'm good.
He's behind me, oh God.
Look at this man on the hooks. Every second.
Like, the nigga put me on the hook and I died immediately because I know you wasn't supposed to struggle. You're supposed to wait. Maybe I can get off. Nah.
If I just squirm more, I can do it.
Nah, I just had one good round with them.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you play with me and Crazy Bunny, which is fun. Also, you haven't played against the news killer, who is Ghostface. Who I just hate.
Does he rap at you before he kills you?
I wish. Actually, when he mores you, meaning that when he actually like kills you, not on a hook, but just by his own hand, he kind of stabs you, but then he picks you up by the head and takes a selfie with you before he does the final stab. If you're like a survivor who's nearby, you see a flash of light. He's like, damn. He's gone so soon.
We got to get his phone, you know? His picture's probably fire.
Make his interview. Anyway, what you been up to?
I've been playing a little bit more Borderlands.
Yeah.
And
that was last month's game.
Yeah.
And I tried to do it and I was like, oh, I hate first person shooters. But go ahead.
But not Overwatch?
Overwatch is the only one I don't like because there's no recoil.
My complaints are still valid somewhat.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, I was complaining about the reload time and all the other shit. I didn't realize that you could upgrade that with points.
Yeah.
So
It's getting better now.
Yeah, it gets better.
Okay, that's good. Better.
Does your camera sensitivity or aim sensitivity feel weird in that game?
I turn it up though because like I play Call of Duty with like a sensitivity of 9 and above sometimes. So
okay,
yeah, it still feels so slow for me.
But they probably have a damn upgrade for that shit now. Like everything is upgradable in Borderlands.
Did
apparently.
You get the DLC?
The yeah, I downloaded it. Yeah,
I saw. I was like, "Ooh, I need to get that." Completely forgot. Now it's.
However,
gone.
I am playing it completely solo, and like, there's a dude with that damn laser gun who is just lighting my ass up.
He's like going online waiting to see you.
He's shooting like purple lasers at me, and I died like 5 times.
Okay.
Till finally, I was like, "Fuck it!" I lured him to like, because there's a spot where you can't drive in there.
Yeah.
I just lured his ass to like the gate and just ran and got the gun and just started lighting him up with the fucking vehicles.
If you kill him, can you take his gun from him?
You do end up with it, so yeah. They give you a challenge. I'm liking it.
You gotta do what you gotta do. Sometimes
I'm enjoying it.
Does it make you want to get Borderlands 3?
I said I was going to get it regardless.
Okay.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
Playing this, I was like, oh, Borderlands 3. But after playing Borderlands 2, I was like, oh, I.
How much of Borderlands 2 did you play, though?
I played like the first hour and it's like, yeah, nah.
It gets better.
You got to
like,
do
what
more
I'm
than
saying
that.
Is it gets better.
You got to do more than that. Yeah.
Everything is upgradable. So, like, I didn't like the speed of reloads or the speed of switching your guns.
Bruh.
Or
the
stuff
first
like that.
Hour of Dragon's Dogma.
It's fire.
Okay, the first hour of Dragon's Dogma compared to hour 20 of Dragon's Dogma. Big difference.
It's a whole thing of fire for me.
Exactly. So like you have to get past that.
No. I don't think you understand how much I love Dragon's Dogma.
No. Hey.
Because I know you're talking about next.
We sit on the same couch when it comes to Dragon's Dogma.
Okay.
I understand.
Like, I knew this game was for me when the giant Medusa head snake thing came out and I had to throw barrels at it to set it on fire.
Bruh.
I was like, oh, this is my type of game.
I was playing as a mage with that and I was like, I've made a terrible choice. My people are going to die and I'm going to shoot little fireballs at stupid things' head.
But then later on when you...
Does this count as your Dragon's Dogma talk?
So I've been playing Dragon's Dogma as I've been saying.
Oh, what class are you now?
So... I had started with mage. I got the class points or whatever all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing the big mage stuff, and I was like, "All right."
So you were making like the Hellstorm, like with a
that's the sorcerer.
Oh my!
So I was like, so I had a choice to make. I could have used my points to either go to the fighter class to get that up to have like a beast enchanted knight, or I can just go all out mage and do the upgrade mage, which is a sorcerer. So I was like, you know what I'm going to do?
Right.
I'm going to do the sorcerer because I got all the time in the world to do my enchanted knight. I'm about halfway through the sorcerer and I'm just like, you know what? I love this game, but I need to follow my heart on this. So I backed out of the sorcerer. I got to a fighter, and just yesterday I have gotten all my fighter pointsing all the way up. So I'm pretty much there where I can take that next step to become God tier in that game, and I cannot fucking wait.
So then here's like and then this would be a nice segue to, because are you talking about anything else? Are you
Swords of Dia?
Oh, actually, but tell me about that before.
Okay, so
and then I'll make my Dragon's Dogma commentary.
Okay, so real quick, Swords of Dia,
what is that?
Me and my wife has played it's a roguelike game. I talked about it on the last episode. It's a roguelike game where you play as this character. But the main thing is the Sword of Ditto. And the Sword of Ditto is trapped in a curse with this witch named Mormo, where every 100 years...
after 10,000 years, I'm free! It's time to conquer Earth!
She will come and
bust
attack.
Everybody up in the face.
Yeah. And she's really snooty about it. Anyways, like clear out her monsters or whatever. You can attack... these things called anchors, which if you destroy two of them, there's two in like the map that will weaken her when you have to fight her. So this whole thing takes place within 6 days. You have 6 days to defeat the two anchors, get as strong as you can. And then on the sixth day, you have to fight her.
Mm.
So me and my wife, we did this the first time. The first time they allow you to take as long as you want kind of thing.
Excuse me, this is couch co-op?
Yes, couch co-op.
Ooh,
this game... Okay. Is very much so inspired by like Zelda. So you have that like top down view. Actually, it's a little
isometric.
Yeah. It's more isometric than like top down. And like your character can like cut like melee, kind of hack and slash a little bit or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So once you fight and beat Mormo the first time, you realize that, oh, you're trapped in this loop kind of thing. And the second time, things change a little bit. Mormo kind of changes. Like, she adds, like...
It's like Majora's Mask.
Sort of, yeah. Where she adds, like, an element where, mm-hmm. like, there's, like, this spirit now chasing you kind of thing. Hmm. So, me and my wife beat it a second time now. And on this third run, there is... It's called an Aether Storm, which is, like, an Ooh. Element in the game that's just purple poison cloud bullshit. Whatever. So, now we're just like, all right... Are we going to play this again, or are we done with this game?
Yeah, about to say, like, how many times do you go through this loop?
So you're supposed, you find out on the second run that you're supposed to go through the loop like 5 times in total.
Ooh.
So we don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's a good game. It's a very
good game, but is your interest to the point now where you're kind of like, eh.
Yeah, like we've pretty much.
Like round number four, I've seen the same damn tree.
Right. The problem is, because this is a small game, we have experienced a couple bugs. Like, there was one bug that I could repeat that would crash the game. Like, I knew exactly how to crash that game. So that's not good.
Now you're a tester.
Right, yeah. QA. I'm always a tester, unfortunately. I can never break that life. But,
broke.
So yeah, so like, the game is enjoyable. The game is fun. Mm-hmm. But
the first few times.
Yeah, but it's just like, it needs more polish. And I think in terms of game design, it needs to diversify itself a bit more.
More
so,
black characters?
Actually, they do a good job with color because, actually, I don't know if this is a thing that's set in the game or if it just happens to be coincidence. Like, the second character is always black.
Nice.
Okay.
I don't know if they're trying to say something. Like only second. Well,
they know you and Shireen, the only two black people playing this game.
But
Asher Eyes, that sounds like a Negro. Yeah, right.
Give him the black purse. But so yeah, like we're having fun with it, but we're just trying to figure out, are we actually going to do this? Or are we going to move back to, like, because there was an update to like Portal Knights or something, so we might go back to that.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
So the Dragon's Dogma comment I was going to make was, another thing that kind of got me kind of out of that game was, after you've beaten it, you on this go around, you want to make the most optimum build. And so I realized, and to do like the god level Enchanted Knight, you need to actually start off by playing the fighter, because of the way that level scaling and strength scaling goes. You start off by playing the fighter.
Oh, really?
Then you switch to, I think,
mage.
I think you either switch to the mage. Yeah, you switch to mage so that way you can build up your like magic stuff. And then from there you do sorcerer for a bit. And then you jump to, it's either you start out with fighter and then you go to the warrior.
Yeah.
It's like one of those subclasses.
Yeah.
But so then when I realized, I was like, oh man, I don't want to, oh. So, but you actually got me. I'm gonna jump back in the game.
Yeah.
So here's what I've been doing. Since I've been.
Sorry, let me just.
Yeah, go ahead.
So one last thing about Dragon's Dogma.
Mm-hmm.
I love the game.
I want to use your, pawn.
Yeah. So okay. I love the game to death.
I do too.
But I have run into this thing where it's an annoyance, and I admit that it's just me being myself about this game. I wish the pawn system was fleshed out a little bit more.
Yes.
So I found out.
Hey, master. Yes, master.
Yo. So I like
you can turn them off, like tell them to not talk, or you can like.
That's mean. That's cruel. Okay, real quick. So do you know that if you throw an animal at one of the pawns, the pawn will pick it up and throw it back at you?
No.
I have clips of this game, sir. I have clips of this game. They're great. Anyways, the one thing that I don't like is the fact that the pawns won't take your healing items to heal themselves sometimes, and you can't force them to drink this potion or like make
that's
them...
That's abusive too, force them to drink stuff.
I guess when I say it out loud,
Cosby face.
Okay.
Well. Oh, Bill Cosby over there.
Now I feel bad, guys. So, what have you been playing?
With the pawns, I see other people's pawns working, like walking around the street. I used to beat them up and then throw them in the water and kill them. So, I've been playing. First, I started out playing The Surge. So, it's a game by, was it Focus? Whatever. There's a signal. There's a second one coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the game, but then my issue with all those games in that vein is dying and losing all your stuff and feel like you're making no progress.
Yeah, that Dark Souls-y kind of thing.
Yeah. And so then I was like, is the issue, like, I like The Surge, I like the gameplay. If I was like, well, would I like Lords of the Fallen, which is their first stab at the Dark Souls-y type.
Oh, really?
It's the same studio.
Oh.
And so I was like, well, would I like Lords of the Fallen because it's more of a, the combat style is more what I like because it's like, you know, medieval armor, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I can't get past the first boss. And I was like, yep, I kind of hate these games.
Wow.
Whereas The Surge, I like it, but then I don't want to lose my progress. And then with this game, it's hard and I can't make it past the first boss. And that's annoying.
Huh.
So then I went to the Technomancer. So flashback, the Technomancer is a really terrible game by Spider Interactive or Spider Studios or something like that. It's a really bad game, but it's one of those games that are so bad that it's also really good.
Okay.
Meaning,
so he does like being dominated. He wasn't joking.
And because
he's the guy who said he likes it when it hurts so good.
You're right.
Oh my God.
We're going to find you some, you just go Google it.
Hey, there's a tab for that. There's a tab for that.
Oh my God. And so the thing what I like about the game is how you can switch combat styles on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
I like how fluid the hack and slash parts of it are.
Yeah.
And I like the random like use of power and like the weird slow motion effects that it has that makes no sense.
Yeah.
I don't like anything else about it.
Okay.
Like the story is trash.
Yeah.
The graphics trash.
Mm.
The world is trash. And the voice acting is trash. It literally sounds like it's like, and yeah. And so I went to the store. What, you crazy person? You went to the store?
There's no inflection. Oh, there's no emotion.
Oh man, it literally sounds like what I imagine Beyonce sounds like in The Lion King.
Oh, God damn.
How dare you? How dare you, sir?
Yo, I saw that. I saw that two-second clip.
When the Beehive come out to sting you, I cannot defend.
No, it's okay. I saw that two-second clip where somebody was like, this is what I'm paying for. And it was like, Simba, we've waited our whole lives for you. And I was like, Take this part out of the movie. Take this part.
They will dox you and send death threats to you.
I love Beyonce. I don't want to smoke.
I'm not even joking around. That part too, so you don't even know who the fuck we're talking about. I'm like,
I don't want to smoke.
I ain't even on this podcast anymore. I'm out.
Right.
I'm out.
I love Beyonce as I went to her concert in PG.
Stop saying her name.
She's the great. She's the wonderful. She's queen.
No, Beyonce is excellent. I don't think she's good at acting.
Okay.
But she's great at everything else, and nobody's perfect.
Right, yep.
Damn.
Except for Beyonce.
Okay, well, that's it for me.
The god of music, apparently.
I'm going to download...
slashing your tires right now. Outside.
I'm going to download Overwatch and download Dragon's Dogma, so that way I'll probably play one of the two.
You could join in with the group?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm really just waiting for Death Stranding, to be honest.
You think that's coming out this year?
November. They're taking people money now.
Oh, that's right. It did say November,
yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
Okay. Same time as Google Stadia.
And I'm waiting for Anthem to be updated.
That's coming soon.
I know.
That's this week.
Anthem? Don't they already have a Cataclysm Anthem? Like, what?
It's only for PC.
Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. Right, it's not this week. I was getting that confused with Dauntless. Anthem is, it might be August. They haven't announced when it's coming out. Did you see the news about the guns?
For what?
There's guns that dropped in the PTR. I'm sorry, guys. I'm...
Wait, we're bringing back Anthem?
Yes. Okay, anyways. Okay.
That's it for me.
So, with that being said, guys, we are going to have a word from our sponsors.
The Beehive.
Okay, now gamers, let's get information.
Hey fam, have you been enjoying this episode of Press X to Start? Want to make sure you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, and most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. Then tell three people about the podcast. Could be friends, strangers, loved ones, or hated ones. Every little bit counts. And after you're done with that, please follow us on Facebook at PressX2Start, Instagram at PressX2Start, Twitter at PressX2S, and YouTube at PressX2StartTV. And if you're done with all this, well done. Many thanks. You're one of the good ones.
Bring it back.
And we are back. So, just to continue what I was saying about Anthem.
No.
Until they bring back my two trophies.
This is actual news, everybody. So,
we're going to get my trophies back? I get my two trophies back?
You might get your trophies back in the next update kind of thing.
You know, you've been saying it for the past 6 months.
I mean, I got to keep saying it, right? Eventually, Anthem will come back and and the rapture will happen. So, real quick. So the past, like when Anthem had their live stream, whatever, they talked about their Cataclysm event and about that whole update kind of thing. They were going to start this PTR, which is a public test. PTS.
Yes,
public
PTS.
Test server.
It's PTS.
PTS, right? Okay, yeah. Cool. So,
and this game gives me PTSD.
So this public test server, they put all the new stuff on it. They have people test it. Once it's good to go, then they'll release it to the public.
Yeah, proper studios like, you know, Blizzard does it for Overwatch. You
exactly.
Know, since the very beginning.
You know, they make mistakes, so now they're learning. So this is the thing that they learned from. And on the PTS, they have these new legendary guns that all look pretty dope. I'm not going to read them because that will make this entirely too long. There is about 9 or 10 of them. And I am excited to see these things actually play. Right now, there's only screenshots.
I want the audience to know there are 3 men looking at Boar face like, they're going to give you some new
no,
guns.
No, there's 2. I'm genuinely excited over here.
Okay.
Ready to get back into that Anthem life. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's that.
Sean, that wasn't even on a goddamn docket.
Nope. Anthem is always on the docket.
I made a request and I'm adding Anthem right now. You can hear me type. Anyways, number 2, Final Fantasy VII Remake is apparently being released to Xbox, says Xbox Germany.
Or not.
Ooh. Or not.
As Square.
Because Sony said no, because that's not happening, actually.
So Xbox Germany announced, hey, we getting Final Fantasy VII, y'all. Square was like,
boy, if you don't get...
What the fuck are y'all doing? Right? Shut up.
Sony's like, y'all getting what? All right. Yeah, so that became news, and then it wasn't news because everyone was like, no, that's actually not happening. So Xbox Germany has to figure their shit out. Number 3, Idris Elba will be coming to the next Suicide Squad.
The hell is wrong with you? Next.
I mean, I thought that was cool. Whatever. Black Superman. I'm down with that. Number 4. There is, check your mail, everybody. Right now. Because there is a $60,000 Pokemon card in the wild.
You mean the Postal Service?
Yeah, well, I was talking about like in the bushes. But yes, Postal Service. Yes. Let it all sink in, everybody.
This dude paid on eBay $60,000 for a very rare Pokemon card, and now almost a year later, the card hasn't arrived. He paid $60,000 and didn't pay for fucking certified shipping.
Exactly, right?
Well, I think the question is,
could you spend all his money on the card? Right.
Now, you know,
this is everything. Cam, I feel like it's like the mailbox rule. I feel like just like some of those are weird things you get in law school. Like you pay a huge bunch of money for a card, but it gets lost in the mail. Who's responsible?
That is literally a bar hypothetical problem.
Yeah.
It's funny because the way they do it on eBay, like there'll be something for like $450 and it'll have $50 shipping. And it'll be something with $500 of free shipping. Most people will go for the free shipping one, even though you're paying the same fucking amount of money.
Jeez.
So he probably could have got the card with $50 shipping.
But probably, yeah. Well, it sucks for him.
It is a Japanese trainer number 3 card.
Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Number 5. Yes. Gears 5 will exclude smoking depictions after concerns raised by Youth Anti-Tobacco Org.
But they'll keep in the blood, guts, and entrails. And
yeah, because that murders. Stuff doesn't hurt teens' psychology or anything like that.
No, of course not. There's never been like school shootings. There's only been school smoking.
Exactly.
That's really the problem.
Now, guys, you know that every time there's a school shooting, the first thing they go to is video games.
Oh,
that too. Because like, why actually fix the problem? Let's blame someone else.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So in this case, removing the tobacco and stuff from Gears 5 is going to make Gears 5 from teen rating to for everybody. Get ready, everyone.
Are you like serious?
Nah, I lied.
Oh, you might have been serious.
I'm a liar. Number 6. France makes post-Brexit grab for UK's game developers.
I love this.
This is hilarious.
What do you mean by this?
So apparently now, this whole Brexit thing will not affect France.
And, yeah, because France is part of the EU.
Right. So there's like, hey guys, bring your shit here because we'll take care of you.
There's a lot of uncertainty over what will happen economically when the United Kingdom leaves the European Union. Mm-hmm. And that's because for, at least in terms of video games, there's a lot of IP that goes all, you know, just freely traded right now within the EU zone. But once you started adding more restrictions and more, you know, tariffs over what properties go across the English Channel, they're like, hey, you know, don't deal with all this uncertainty, you know, just all this crazy. You don't even know who's going to be the next prime minister. Come to France where it's nice, it's stable. You can work here. We'll give you some incentives. Everything's nice.
Come here for the wine, the Wimo.
And the switch.
All right. Well, that is it for our quick hits.
That's a dangerous precedent. What if the South tries to secede again?
Oh, shit.
Wait.
The South?
What are we going to do?
Of what?
Motherfucker.
The USA.
The South of what? Of France.
They're clearly not, because
we're keeping our wine, damn it.
Right. All right. So anyway, time for the heavy hitters.
They lost the first war, so
first up,
Douglas.
We got Doug.
So we got some new data coming from the NPD group regarding the state of the video game industry in the month of May 2019.
Hey.
And so they say in summary that U.S. video game spending across hardware, software, accessories, and game cards totaled $641 million, which is actually 11% lower than last year. Total 2019 spending on accessories and game cards was flat when compared to a year ago at $230 million. They also got some more specifics here. For example, in terms of the title game spotlight, Mortal Kombat 11, this title was the best-selling game of the month. Again,
it
is now the best-selling game year to date. Right. It is nearly double the comparable second month in market sales of any other Mortal Kombat game in the history of the franchise.
Shout out to Sonic Fox, who just won like the CEO championship in Mortal Kombat X11.
Was he wearing his Fox suit when he did it?
No, he put it on after.
Wait, I want to invite him.
Did he put it on stage?
They actually played the game in a simulated wrestling ring.
Did he fight and beat the CEO?
No, the game is called CEO.
He showed him his dominance and his Fox.
Yeah, right. I own this now.
He beat it with Cassie Blade.
Oh, really? Oh, she's vicious.
I want Cassie Cage, my bad. Like, I wish to have him as an interview on the show.
That'd be dope.
Maybe in January. Anyway.
One day.
When it comes to Nintendo Switch, sales growth was offset by declines across all other hardware platforms. The Nintendo Switch was the best-selling hardware platform for May and year-to-date for both unit and dollar sales. Although, interestingly enough, hardware spending was down a negative 20% to $149 million. I'm assuming people are not buying new consoles because they understand that we're about to go to the eve of a new generation.
Either that, or they're just going to do it around holiday time. Like
that too.
It's May.
It is.
If you either have it already or you wait until the holiday season to buy it. So
yeah,
makes sense.
Well, they also say that in general, total dollar sales of new releases were the lowest for new releases in the month of May. It's been the lowest spending in May since May 1998. So you're right. Maybe it is like a low point. Things will probably start picking up later in the year as you get through school spending. Those who are like kids going to college want to get a new console when they go leave. Or when it comes to Christmas shopping, since Christmas shopping starts at like Labor Day now. Hmm. Oh, well. But there's your industry data.
Okay. That's pretty dope. Next up.
Sean MF.
No, sir. Cam, where you been? You been shopping on Amazon? Because Amazon Game Studios is making a new Lord of the Rings MMO.
Yo, Pierre, you want to come out here?
Fire!
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that coming from the Sultan of Segways. Mm-hmm. All right, so Amazon Game Studios is co-developing a new massively multiplayer online game based on George R.R. I get them all confused.
Jake is saying for George.
Yeah, right.
Really,
it's Tolkien, man. J.R.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I made a mistake.
Part of his day.
Should I cut my pinky off now? Good. So, J.R.R. Tolkien's new Lord of the Rings game. The free-to-play game will be based on Tolkien's literacy.
They're going to be literate. We'll teach them English.
Yeah, right.
Or the common tongue.
Jeez. It's trilogy. It's fucking trilogy, guys. Not the Peter Jackson helm films, and is unrelated to Amazon's upcoming original TV series based on the Lord of the Rings, which I didn't know that they were doing. I don't know. I don't use Amazon Prime Go, just whatever. All right. This game has been described as an online game set in the world of Middle Age at a time long before the events of the Lord of the Rings movie, exploring lands, people, and creatures never seen before by fans. I hope it's cool.
You know, this kind of remind me, are we turning Tolkien into like Tom Clancy, where we're taking what the author originally wrote, but we're just expanding it far beyond what they ever even imagined. But we're still using their name.
Yes.
Yes. Like all the Tom Clancy games really is not based on his book. They just use his name at this point in time.
Right. So far, there has not been a release date set for this game. I think this is interesting that they are announcing this. I kind of wonder if that open world game that was what?
The porn game?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not the porn game. The game that was
found on the porn site.
Yes, there you go. I kind of wonder.
That should be Amazon ongoing market strategy. Just leak their stuff on porn and just to see how long it takes for people to actually find it out.
Or how well it does.
You know, it is a captive audience.
Yeah. Yes, they are literally captive. Anyways.
One hand. Anyway.
So earlier this week, Nintendo announced the Switch Lite, finally.
Yes.
So. Just like that. So this one is a little bit smaller. Like the size of it is roughly the normal Switch with one Joy-Con off.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And it has a slightly smaller screen, but the same internals.
Mm-hmm.
The Joy-Cons are not detachable. It supposedly cannot dock to the TV, but I'm wondering if you can like connect a USB Type-C output wire to it. Yeah.
So I don't know about that, but the going theory is that if you own a Switch currently,
it won't fit in there.
Huh?
It won't fit in there.
No, it won't fit in the dock. But what you can do is, I heard it's from Kind of Funny's Games Daily or Games Pod, whatever, one of the games podcasts on that channel. They are saying that all you have to do is make the Switch Lite your primary console and then make your Switch that's docked your secondary console, because primary consoles can play without being online. And the secondary console has to be online to play the games. So you can have that console, your secondary console.
You have a hotspot on your fucking phone the whole time while you're playing this shit?
No. The idea is that you'd be able to take your Switch Lite out with you and still play the games because it's not, doesn't have to be online. Whereas your home Switch.
I think you've confused yourself, DJ.
No.
I'm confused. I don't understand what you're saying.
Shut up,
bro.
DJ. It's coming in yellow, turquoise, and gray. And then when Pokemon comes out, they're going to have another special edition with.
Only in Europe, though.
No, what?
It's not America. It's not going to be here.
That regardless, they're going to have a special edition with the sword dog and the shield dog with from Pokemon. Fucking crackhead dogs running around with knives.
Sword bark.
They're going to have a special edition with that on the back. And I think it's not going to have the kickstand and something else.
Yeah, it doesn't have the kickstand, and it doesn't have, yeah, you're, I don't know. Whatever.
Oh, it's going to have a proper D-pad, though. Some people are going to buy it just for that.
Yes, that is a big plus to that, because right now the Switch D-pad is non-existent.
Yeah. Oh, so my wife wants one, so.
Had they released the price for it?
$200.
Which is not perfect.
So the thing is, like, I saw that you can change some of the settings to play games like Mario or other games that require you to do like movements with the Joy-Con.
Oh, really?
None of them really require you to do any movements.
It's what was it? The game where you like fake shave?
Fake shave. Is that one-two
switch? You talking about 1-2 switch?
Yeah.
Nobody fucking plays that.
What if I want to?
Ouch.
Get out.
Shut up, Cam.
You say that now, but like Bama's, when you got the Wii, you was playing them generic ass Wii games that came with the Wii.
Nah, I played the official.
Oh, so you didn't play Wii Bowling, nigga?
Shut up. Everybody, I had money. I had actual games for that bitch, like Mario and Zelda.
Sean was like, I just wasn't trying to brag and shit.
But yeah, so they are holding off. I'm still wondering if there's going to be like a Switch Pro, but I mean, it would be foolish to announce it now because it would cannibalize sales from the Lite.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a Pro.
They are upgrading the internals for the new one, like the memory.
And the CPU.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're beefing up the current Switch and they're releasing this quote unquote light Switch.
But it's not necessarily, it's not necessarily a beefed up one, because I mean, all consoles upgrade their internals silently from time to time.
True, true.
So.
Yeah. But it could just mean like better loading times and stuff for your current Switch games if you get the new Switch console. But yeah.
That's that.
And Cam.
Yes. So there's a working group that's called Take This.
What is that?
And it's their plans to tackle crunch and workplace stress.
Hey.
So if you've been in the gaming sphere for this year, because we've had major releases like, was it?
Swords of Ditto.
Anthem.
Anthem.
Division 2.
Division 2, mm-hmm. Mortal Kombat 11, Red Dead Redemption.
They had PTSD off of Mortal Kombat.
They had PTSD off of Anthem, and that doesn't make no sense given how this game is, where people were literally calling it
Anthem was the Firefly of video games. Let's just say what happened.
And
Fire Festival, sorry.
Take This is a not-for-profit dedicated to addressing mental health problems in the gaming industry, and so they announced a work group made of five big companies. They're called Big Huge Games.
Hey, Big Huge Games. That's in Maryland, guys.
Bungie.
Mm-hmm.
Certainfinity. Wooga.
Why is that hard for you to say?
I like because
I can't believe that's the name of a company.
Wooga.
And then ZeniMax. Wooga, 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 wooga. And so these are human resource leaders from these companies, and they would work with Take This on addressing excess.
Wait, was that last company ZeniMax?
Yes.
Yes, ZeniMax is Bethesda.
Okay.
Big ups. I was working there.
All right, shorty, though.
So they're like, dang, we heard DJ on the podcast, so we gotta get our lives together. And so they're gonna be working with human resource leaders to address like the gaming industry's excess issues with crunch.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And so company representatives, what they're planning to do is share the data. Like, so these companies like ZeniMax, they will share their data. They will meet with Take This once a month to discuss how to resolve mental health issues associated with the game industry, specifically like crunch. Job security, because every 2 weeks, you know, you could lose your job. Diversity.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And online harassment. The last two seem are, I'm really interested to see what they're going to do, because I don't think these places are, like, I don't know how to tackle diversity in a way beyond just hiring.
Yeah, something that's actually meaningful.
And then online harassment, usually most companies don't have anything specific. They just like ban.
Yeah.
Ban. Mm-hmm. So that'd be interesting. So the leader, Eve Crovelshay, she says, and I quote, they have added a number of game industry companies, or they had approached a mm-hmm. number of game industry companies, but they declined to participate. And she says, some people are nervous about taking part. Some don't feel like they have the resources to commit, and some are dealing with challenging situations in real time. So specifically, for example, BioWare, mm-hmm. where they put out that public apology. They talked about after that article from Jason Schreier addressing the crunch. Mm-hmm. And so I can see how they were like, you know, we probably got a couple of lawsuits like cooking right now. So,
yeah.
You know, we really don't want to, we don't want to admit that there's a problem now.
Right.
So Take This wants to attract more companies as an effort to like really push this forward. They want more companies to be a part, especially publishers. So I'm interested in seeing the data. I feel like video game companies or these companies are notorious for not being transparent.
Yeah.
And to engage in this manner, like it's a nonprofit. I think the only company I'm really interested in is Bungie, because there's been rumors of like Destiny 3.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think about a type of game like Destiny.
Yeah.
And the fact that Bungie, what, left their publisher.
Activision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're on their own.
Yeah.
And so their back is against the wall to deliver an actual good Destiny this time.
This is.
And so there's going to be no crunch.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, that's going to be, I totally agree with you. Like, that's going to be super interesting. The fact to actually see how that's going to work for that company.
Mm-hmm.
Just because like, that's a thing that they have to do. They have to have crunch now.
Yeah,
but like, no, but I'm gonna think, is crunch really an example of bad management? First of all, because there's no, last time I checked, Trump don't tell this company when to publish a game. They're the ones who set the date. They're the ones who set the milestones, and they're the ones, at least the management, who oversee the employees that does the work. So, or employees do the work. Sorry, grammar. So my issue with crunch to me is really crunch seemed like just an example of management failure. People are busting their asses working overtime because either you didn't plan efficiently or you didn't manage people enough to make sure that they're doing the most they can within their allotted hours.
Right.
But then I thought the other issue was they have to put these games out for the shareholders
that
way they
get
their reported earnings.
Yeah.
But again, shareholders don't tell you when to publish games. And if you publish a game that still fails,
you tell the shareholders that, we're going to publish this. And it's like, okay, great. we will give you money so you can do that. So then it's just like, all right, well, we have to hit this.
Shareholders have no obligation. You know, they once they buy a share, but their influence in terms of the management decision is up to the directors.
True.
Could you address it by like shortening specific development windows? So I thought there was like
kind of like an agile development
development windows. There was like one where you're like kind of planning and you're like,
the issue is you can never predict shit when you're coding things.
Exactly.
Though. People yes. break games.
Yes. Like that is, I was waiting for everyone to get their stuff out before saying what Sean is saying. But yes, like that's the main problem with game development, like software development, period. You never have enough time. Mm. Like that's what it boils down to. And it's like, no matter how much planning you do, it comes down to coding stuff.
You'll do some obscure shit and it'll just break the game. Yeah,
because like you're working.
Ooh, I'm really interested about Destiny 3 because that's going to come out on PS5.
So we don't know.
New hardware, no backing from a real publisher.
The thing is,
but here's the thing. Crunch. But there's a difference between
they're called surprise mechanics.
But you're identifying all the problems of game and development. These are people who are tenured, who've been in this industry, so they understand, should know well the risk that's out there and the means to mitigate it. But there still is a difference between knowing there's a risk, trying to create a plan to resolve that risk, mm-hmm. and stressing out your employees because now they have to work on a short deadline than what was announced.
Right. There's
and
definitely a balance.
That's a management decision.
Yes.
And I don't see crunch ever really going down unless employees actually start being much more selective of where they go and say, look, I'm not going to work a place that's going to work me half to death.
So,
but there's a lot more candidates than they, you know, because like it's a supply and demand, mm-hmm. demand of the job market. Unfortunately, there's always gonna be that one person who will still take that job.
Absolutely.
Can they give you overtime?
Yes. Yeah. Like you do get, okay, well, let me not say yes and be like, yes, because I've worked at every game industry that has crunched that ever existed in life. No, I don't know exactly, but when I was working at ZeniMax,
employer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like we had to crunch a number of times to like get the stuff tested in order to have the developers get this feedback to know how to fix the game, essentially, right? So there was plenty of times where we were just like, all right, I mean, this game is broken again. Don't know what is happening. I don't know why this is happening, but all right, we'll do it. Like we literally tested this build last week and it was fixed. Now it's broken. And yeah, it's like,
if you change one line of code, you may have fixed that one thing and then broken five other things. So,
and the thing is, like, for us, it was like, well, for some of the people, they understood, oh, like, game development is a very, very complex beast.
It is.
And it's just like,
but that doesn't
we understand why we're
you
here.
You got to work a 12-hour day, though. There's a difference. Exactly. There's a difference. Right. You know, like you know, my husband works a 12-hour day, but that's public safety. There's people's lives at stake. Nobody lives at stake in a video game.
I mean,
nobody about to die. There's no blood. If there's bloodshed, then you probably should call it.
Ultimately, police. You're beholden to your shareholders, though. And they announce shit to generate hype, to get more money, to get funding to finish the game.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just kind of how the industry has unfolded, where it's not only shareholders, it's also the consumer.
Yeah.
Because at this point, like, we're like, hey, we're creating all these like super in-depth and crazy looking experiences, and we have to keep that up all the time. So like that ends up like, if games were allowed to just look like Mario, like way back when,
yeah,
we wouldn't have fucking crunch. Like, this would be like, oh, we get this shit out easy because technology is able to do this real easy.
But I got some crunch for you, nigga.
There's a crunch bar.
Every gamer wants photorealistic games that are open world that are 80 hours long.
Yeah.
Duh.
And the thing
is,
I want
my ray tracing. I want the water to look good.
Exactly. And like, all that shit is always new technology, and new technology always breaks.
So I encourage everyone, podcast and members on the podcast included, wow. to look up a video from YouTuber Super Bunny Hop. His name is George. I can't remember his last name. Super Bunny Hop. And he does a video explaining the problem with being a QA tester and the challenges they have in job security, actual work, the issues with like advancement in their career, and like why QA testing in games. Why there's been such an issue with bugs and QA testing in games.
Because people think it's important.
And the way you have to like log their hours and do those things. And he does a really good video. It's like probably about 15, 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
But I encourage everyone to look it out if you want to know the perspective.
Yeah. Like, working in QA, you realize that you are expendable as fuck.
Yeah.
So that's that. So last news topic, Facebook. Facebook has a shopping list of making acquisitions to beef up their gaming, I guess, for their next generation of gaming,
I don't like kind this.
Of thing. All right.
So would you want to play Farmville?
No, I mean, no, they want
real
games.
Let me explain the story first, and then we can get on Facebook's case. Facebook is looking to buy game studios and ink exclusive deals for virtual reality versions of well-known games to bolster the Oculus VR headset business, according to two people familiar within the matter. As a part of the new effort in which CEO Mark Zuckerberg is personally involved, Facebook has already signed deals for exclusive VR versions of popular games such as Assassin's Creed, which makes sense, and Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell, which we haven't seen in forever. So that's actually pretty interesting. Facebook hopes that seeding Oculus with popular game franchises will help attract more people to buy its VR headsets, which have been so far moderately successful, and increasing the amount of time spent on the social networks platform, which is a very strange thing to put that in there. Like,
Why would they admit to that, you're saying?
Yeah, like, I didn't realize...
They know nobody on Facebook but the 40-plus club.
Nah, young people are on there too, treating like a person.
I'm on Facebook and I ain't 40 plus. Cam.
No, you 30 plus, nigga.
Anyways, you 30 plus too, nigga.
I just got there.
You been here for a whole year. Shut up. We can't comment on specific partnerships. This is what Facebook says. I'm sorry. We can't comment on specific partnerships, but we will continue to focus on expanding our library and reach broader gaming audiences for years to come, says a Facebook spokesman. So Facebook launches its new untethered Oculus Quest. Well, I've been seeing a whole shit ton of stuff online about it, and it looks awesome. I kind of want to get it because it looks pretty dope.
I'm wary of playing any games like on Facebook. They just got slapped with a $5 billion fine by the FTC for their lapse in privacy.
Yes.
All this is going to do, especially if you're using VR and they got like eye tracking and stuff, they're going to know how to market to you even better. And they really don't care about your privacy. Mm-hmm. They're just going to try to be better at hiding it now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just like with us, with porn, as we get older, you get better at clearing your browser shit.
This is how we can bring it to full circle.
Exactly. I'm bringing real truth to everybody. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm letting you guys know. But yeah, like this is, I mean, yeah. Okay, cool. Facebook, go at it. I mean, like Ubisoft is just giving their shit to everybody.
Like, yeah.
I'd rather
Stadia too, guys.
Yeah.
I honestly rather they would stick to what they're already doing.
Yeah,
they literally don't have to branch out into everything. You know, they have their own cryptocurrency now, right?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I think Facebook kind of mimicked the ways of Google. Google's are just simple searches, and now it's your phone, internet. I mean, it's a raw.
I think they have a dark web section too now on Facebook. They have a site on the dark web. Yeah.
Wow.
The whole point of dark web is to be fucking anonymous. Yeah, Facebook wants you to log in on it.
Dark web user 45282. Yeah, that's
because don't you want to share what you do in the dark web with your friends?
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, you can like some people's shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to share that.
DJ has liked that you have purchased 16 grams of cocaine.
Hey, yo, who's your dealer? But yeah, so that's crazy, guys. That's just crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that does it for this episode.
Really?
Because this has been another episode of Press X Star Podcast.
Woo!
Cam. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad that you're glad to be here.
You are still alive.
Gonna do another special appearance in like November.
The Thanksgiving edition.
Hey, I hear no refutes, no rebuttals.
We're going to record a podcast at his birthday party.
Wait a minute. Don't we have somebody who also is like our Xbox? Our Xbox? We have another missing member too.
Yeah, oh yeah. He's making big moves outside of the podcast, but you know, we support him even though
we can't reveal his location or his name as a member of DedSec.
DedSec? So don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit helps. If you miss any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressx2start.com. Until next time, guys, I have an awesome clip of an org committing suicide in Dragon's Dogma. That shit is hilarious.
A tutela.
Peace.
Peace.
Beep, doop, 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 beep.